All right, thank you for that singing this morning. I didn't mention in announcements, so thank you for those who were praying for us that we went up on the men's retreat there. Went 5 hours north. The fishing was pretty good.
Is it working? Working now? Okay. We had a little friendly competition the last day of fishing. We were going to see how many inches, the total inches of walleye per boat. And Scott, your boat ended up with like 230 inches.
It was two more than
the guy. Yeah. He kept asking, well, I'd say, how many inches of walleye do you have? Well, what do you have? So I knew he was going to cheat. But I think you legitimately had, what, 230 inches?
We never kept track.
Oh. Well, he would have lost anyhow because I did keep track, and we had 168 inches. What did you guys have? Oh, 170. See how this is going? They wait until I say. But at any rate, they had three in each boat. And there's only two in my boat. So you divide it by three, divide it by two. So I'm going to just claim victory and say we won. But the fishing was good. The food was good. And the fellowship was great. We had a safe time. We had opportunity, time in the Word, morning and evening. We looked at really the tragedy of compromise and looking at the children of Israel and then believers. And really in the book of Judges, you see the same thing, you know, as they would compromise, and that led to servitude. The sin, the servitude, finally the supplication. So we focused really on the first three chapters of Judges, morning and evening, and just a good time of fellowship and encouragement, and we did catch a lot of fish. Lord willing, I'll have some pictures next week so you can get a glimpse of that. But if you haven't been up there, encourage you to set that aside. Lord willing, we'll do it again next summer. So, but today we're in looking forward to baptism service in August. We're going to be looking at a message on baptism, and I titled it, Why Not? I stayed at camp on Wednesday and worked on Sunday's message, and oftentimes, you know, you're giving people a reason why they should be baptized. We're going to look at that today, but oftentimes you hear, well, you know, my question is, why not? If you're a believer, why are you not getting baptized? And so this morning, we're going to look at three reasons not to get baptized. We're going to look at three reasons to get baptized, and then look at four excuses that we often hear from people that should get baptized and why they won't. And so that's kind of the outline for today. You have an insert in your bulletin. So let's pray, and then we'll look at this subject of baptism. Lord, thank you again just for the opportunity today to gather and to worship you. As we read Psalm 148, that call to praise all creatures, all creation, to praise you. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be exalted. And so I pray that would be the reason that we're here today, is to praise you, to worship you. And as we look at this subject of baptism, that we would rightly respond to the truths of your word. Lord, perhaps there's believers here today that have not been baptized. I just pray that they would come to a better understanding as to why they should. Perhaps there's some here that they're not believers, and maybe they've been sprinkled or had water poured on them, or they haven't put their faith in you. And so I pray that issue would be settled, that they today recognize their sin, their need of a Savior, put their faith and trust in Christ. And so that each one of us would respond correctly to your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, three reasons not to get baptized. Here's the first one, to gain favor with God. If you're considering baptism and the reason that you want to get baptized is, hey, I want to gain favor with God, this will get me into heaven, then don't do it. Don't get baptized, because baptism does not save you. If your motive's to earn salvation, then don't do it. Baptism cannot save you. Jesus alone can save you. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, we're saved by grace through what? Faith. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not by works, lest any man could boast. So don't get baptized thinking that's getting you into heaven, because it can't. It doesn't. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." So baptism doesn't get you into heaven. Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." It doesn't say, "Believe and be baptized and you will be saved." And so all through Scripture, you can look and you'll see that faith came first and then baptism. It was never baptism alone or baptism then faith. It's always faith and then baptism followed. I can give you numerous passages of Scripture. We won't go to them all, but let's start out in Acts 2:41, which says, "Then those who gladly received his word," okay, the message of salvation that was being proclaimed by Peter, "then those who gladly received his word were baptized." So they first received the gospel. They received the message of salvation. Then they were baptized. Acts 8:12. Says, "But when they believed Philip," again, the message that was preached, "but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." So what came first? It came faith, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Then it was baptism. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he's reading in Isaiah. Long as we're in Acts 8, let's go there, 35 through 39. "Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.'" So if he hadn't put his faith in Jesus Christ, then baptism wasn't for him. It was faith and then baptism. I'm not going to go there, but Acts 10:47, Cornelius and his house. Acts 16:14 and 15, Lydia and her house. The Philippian jailer in his house in Acts 16:31. Paul didn't say be baptized to be saved. He said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Corinthians in Acts 18:8. It was always faith and then baptism. And when it says and their house, the households were baptized because they had believed. And so if you think that, okay, I'm considering getting baptized so I can be right with God, so I can gain favor with Him. If that's your motive, don't do it. Because that isn't what baptism is. So don't get baptized to gain favor with God. Don't get baptized to please man. If your motive is to make mom and dad happy or a friend happy or to please me, then that's the wrong motive. Now, I'm not saying children shouldn't try and please their parents. We should honor them. But if mom and dad are saying, "You should get baptized," and you're thinking, "You know what, just to get them off my back, I'm going to get baptized." That's a bad reason to get baptized. Don't do it to please man. If that's what your motive is to just make somebody happy so they quit asking you about it, then don't do it. Maybe your motive is to... How did that happen? To get some kind of a spiritual high. You know, you're struggling in life and you're struggling with sin, and you think, well, if I get baptized, you know, a dove ascended when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit descended like a dove. Or you think, maybe if I get baptized, when I come out of the water, there's going to be some halo on my head and everything's going to go right and I'm not going to have any more issues in life. That's not true. You're not going to come out of the water with some halo on your head. You'll still struggle in life. And so if that's your reason, if that's why you're considering baptism, if that's your motive, don't get baptized. And so there's three reasons to not get baptized. Let me look at three reasons to get baptized. If you're a believer, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you put your trust in Him, you should get baptized. If you're not a believer, if you haven't personally put your trust in Him, you shouldn't. But if you're here today and you're a Christian, you're a born-again believer, you should get baptized. Scripture commands it. We believe in two ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism. Now, what's an ordinance? It's something that Jesus commanded. It's something that is taught through the epistles and the early church practiced. And there's two of them. That is the Lord's Supper. Do this until He comes. And it's baptism, the command to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so it's a command in Scripture. And so if you're a believer, you should get baptized. If you want to be obedient to Christ, now if I asked everybody here, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but if I asked you, if you're a believer and you say yes, I'd say, and I ask, do you want to be obedient to Christ? I would guess that almost every Christian would say, yeah, I want to be obedient to Him. And again, it's commanded in Scripture. Do you want to be obedient to Christ? Then get baptized. Do you want to publicly identify with Christ? Then you should get baptized. In New Testament times, a believer was usually baptized very soon after conversion. The Ethiopian eunuch, he's sitting there, he's reading that scroll of Isaiah 53, and he's asking, is this person writing about himself or someone else? And Philip says that he expounds Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that came and suffered and died and paid the penalty for your sin. And this eunuch believes, and he is baptized almost immediately after. And you see that in Scripture, in the New Testament. Almost immediately after conversion, they were baptized. They responded in obedience and they were baptized. Why did they do that? To publicly identify, to say to the world, I am a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, and I want to live in obedience to Him. And you know, there's a lot of persecution going on at that time. People that had put their faith in Christ, they would be persecuted. And so it's an opportunity to publicly identify with Christ. You know, we see people that, I mentioned in Sunday school, Scott came out with a Packer towel up in Canada. Who would do that? Publicly identify as a Packer fan. But you go uptown and there's people wear their warrior hats and their warrior shirts, and we wear our Viking apparel. We publicly identify with our team. Why? Because we're proud of that team. And we want everybody to know that we're on that team. And that's what baptism is. It's a public identification that I am a follower of Christ. Are we ashamed to do that? That's what it is. It's a public identification. And these people in the New Testament were willing to take the risk. Whether it's loss of income, a loss of a job, a family member separating from them. Persecution. Even death, but they would publicly identify that I am a follower of Christ, and that's what baptism is. I'll get to that a little bit more here as we move on, but it's public identification. So reasons not to get baptized, if you think it's going to save you, if you're doing it to please man or for some spiritual high, then don't do it. But reasons to get baptized, are you a Christian? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Have you trusted in Him alone and want to be obedient to Him and publicly identify with Him? Then you should get baptized. Well, let's look at some excuses that people give to not get baptized. I'll give you four excuses. This is one that I've heard, is baptism isn't for believers today. I've heard Christian people say that baptism isn't for believers today. There's three groups that, and I'm going to use this term loosely, in Christendom that say that baptism isn't for us today. One of those will go back to the 17th century, and two from the 19th century. Two of these, the Society of Friends, popularly called the Quakers, and Salvation Army, and a lot of people don't realize the Salvation Army is a religious organization. You can go online and look at their doctrinal statement. But these, those two, the Quakers and Salvation Army, called Salvationists, are involved a lot in social work. They're involved, very active in social work, in giving to the needy. The third group is generally identified as ultra-dispensationalists or hyper-dispensationalists. That's not their own designation. You can't drive around anywhere and see First Baptist Church of Hyper-Dispensationalists. You won't see that because they don't identify themselves that way. But that group also says that baptism isn't for today. Quakers, Society of Friends, has taught that the outward rites, the Lord's Supper and baptism, are not necessary for the spiritually advanced. This includes ordinances, as I said, of baptism and the Lord's Supper. This teaching came about because of, it was really an overreaction to the Church of England and their requirements. And so they were requiring baptism as a means of salvation. There was an overreaction to that, so they said no baptism at all. And this came about George Fox in the late 1600s moved away from that. And so it was an overreaction. The Salvation Army, they did practice the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And again, because they're being accused of being part of a certain denomination, that William Booth decided in 1882 to move away from that. And so they no longer, and again, it was an overreaction to the abuse of baptism. But also, if you go online and look at the doctrinal statement of Salvation Army, they say that you can lose your salvation. You have to maintain it. And so I have to maintain my salvation or I'll lose it. The other group is the ultra-dispensationalists, the hyper-dispensationalists. Again, this group thinks they're more advanced than dispensationalists, which I'm a dispensationalist, although I don't like putting terms on things. But the hyper-dispensationalists, they think that they're more advanced. Those who look with disfavor on dispensational theology often lump the two together. Ultra-dispensationalists believe that the Christian church started after Pentecost. So they say it didn't start at Pentecost. It started later, and they look to only Paul for their teaching. You can't preach out of the Gospels or anywhere else in Scripture, just the Pauline epistles. And they say Paul, and they go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. And so they say, see, Paul didn't baptize, therefore we didn't. But Paul did baptize. Paul baptized several people. What the point he is bringing out is, I'm not going to brag about who I baptized. My main ministry, I want to preach the gospel. It's not, I don't want you saying I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos, but Paul did baptize. He baptized Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanus, and saw to it that it was done for others. And so that seems to answer the question, did Paul baptize? Is that for the New Testament believer? And it is. It's for us. So in the first two cases, it was overreaction. In the second one, it's, not rightly dividing Scripture. But Jesus commanded it. He taught it in Scripture. It is practiced by the early church. So one excuse, baptism isn't for believers today. Here's another one. I was baptized as an infant. I was already baptized. I was sprinkled when I was a baby, or I was they poured water over my head when I was a baby, and so I've already been baptized. A couple things in response to this is, first of all, were you immersed? Because that's what Scripture teaches. Baptism is immersion, to be dunked under the water. Nowhere in Scripture are you going to find sprinkling or pouring mentioned. Baptize, the word baptize we see is baptizo, which means to immerse. And so it's scriptural to be immersed. Secondly, because we've already looked at it, what comes first, faith or baptism? There's one awake today. What comes first, faith or baptism? Faith. As an infant, had you made a conscious decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ? Yes or no? No, you couldn't. You couldn't make that decision. You didn't know anything about your sin and the need of a Savior. And so you couldn't make that conscious decision. Your parents made a decision to have you sprinkled or water poured on you because in most cases, they think that that was a saving agent. That would guarantee you a right into heaven, which isn't scriptural. And so, first of all, were you immersed? Secondly, had you made a conscious decision to put your faith in Christ? If you haven't, does that line up with Scripture? It doesn't. And so, baptism in Scripture was always by immersion. It was always after conversion. Again, you can go to those passages I listed. So if you're sprinkled as a baby or poured on, you weren't baptized as the Lord commanded. It's the wrong model and the wrong meaning. So that's an excuse I've heard. Is people, you know, well, I was already baptized as a baby. Here's another one. Fear. I might offend a family member. And my parents baptized me as an infant, and if I get baptized, I might upset them. And so if I get rebaptized, they might get upset. And I was talking to Scott a little bit about this when we were up in Canada there, and I wasn't baptized as an infant, so this excuse of fear about a family member, I haven't experienced that, but Scott has. And so I just asked Scott, you know, as we were talking, I said, how did you handle that? And as he talked to me and explained this to me, I said, well, why don't you come and share that this morning? And he didn't say, no, I already have too much pressure. I'm glad he hadn't watched that video on Sunday school. So I'm going to ask Scott just to come and share how he dealt with those fears because he was sprinkled as a baby and want to him to share his how he walked through that. So,
well, for those of you who don't know me very well, I'm about as nervous as I've ever been in my life. So bear with me. And I did write some notes here, because if I didn't do that, I'd go off on a rabbit trail, I'd be talking about faith, hope, and love. And I think Steve knows that the Packers quarterback's name is Love, but anyway. smiling.
Shaking my head.
Okay, so anyway, Chris and I were both raised in the Catholic and Lutheran churches, respectively. Shortly after birth, our parents had us baptized as infants, and that was their choice. While Chris and I were attending a different church in the mid-90s, baptism was being offered. I was struggling with being baptized a second time, not fully understanding what baptism really is and wondering how my mom would perceive it. Would she be hurt? Would she be angry? I didn't know, but it was a concern. It was at that time that I listened to a timely sermon on baptism that greatly helped in the two areas I'd been struggling with. First, he took me to Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. If you'd like to turn to it, I'm going to read it. That was Acts 19, 1 through 5. And it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And they and he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. These verses we find that a group of disciples had been baptized into John's baptism of repentance, which is different than the baptism Jesus calls us to in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. If you want to turn there, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And that reads, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen.'" So that kind of helped me with the area of, you know, boy, do I get baptized a second time? What do I do there? It was confusing for me, but that helped straighten that out a lot. As for my concern about mom and dad, I figured I had to be obedient to the calling of Christ to be baptized and leave mom and dad's reaction to God. One last thing. As for mom, we did invite her to the baptism, and she attended and sat with our daughters. Afterwards, she had some questions that gave me an opportunity to share what biblical baptism is, and it was good.
And so this fear of offending family, we please God rather than man, and an opportunity to share truth with family. And so that public opportunity, I muted this so he wouldn't hear me say anything about the quarterback. But it gave him opportunity to share truth with his mother and to obey God rather than man. And so fear, and fear is an element that we can see. Some people have this fear: I might offend a family member. Well, we obey God rather than man. And it gives opportunity to share truth with that family member. I'm afraid of standing in front of people. Okay, I get that. Scott just said he had fear coming up here. And, you know, we ask you, you know, if someone says they want to be baptized, we ask you to share your testimony of how you put your faith in Christ. So, you know, I sit down with you and hear your testimony. Make sure you understood the gospel, that you truly are saved, because we don't baptize unbelievers. That's between you and God, but ultimately we want to hear your testimony. But it comes to being baptized, you can write it down and read it. You can write it down and have somebody else read it. We just want to hear your testimony of faith in Christ. That's an encouragement to us. It's a testimony to others, that opportunity to share truth. And so you don't have to stand up there and preach for 45 minutes. You know, how simple is it? You know, you think of the blind man. I don't know, but I know I can see. You know, now I can see. How easy is it? You know, I recognized I was a sinner. Can't save myself, but I know Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin. I put my faith in Him alone for salvation. You know, I've listened to Unshackled, and I used to think, boy, these guys, boy, they're miraculously saved. Were they any more miraculously saved than you and I? We're all on a road to hell. But God in His love and grace sent His Son to die on our behalf. So maybe there's a fear of, you know, I don't want to stand in front of people. Encourage you to overcome that fear. We're all in the same boat. We've all been saved by grace through faith. And to simply, and again, you can write it down and read it. You can write it down and someone else can read it.
I'm afraid of water. I've heard this one too. I'm afraid of water. And I do get that. I'm not afraid of water unless somebody's holding me under. Then I am. But there's that legit fear that some people don't, you know, they have that fear of water. I've never lost anyone at a baptism yet. Have you, Pastor Brian? No. And I said yet. I'm just kidding. But the reality is, you know, we go out in water just over our waist, and immersion, we do dunk you, but we bring you back up. We don't hold you under. Don't count to 10. But this fear of water, let me ask you this. You ever taken a shower or a bath? So you're not that afraid of water. I encourage you to overcome. If that's your excuse, overcome that fear and be immersed as God's word has. That's what baptism is. It's immersion for the believer. It's after salvation. Here's another excuse. If it isn't necessary for salvation, why do it? So the excuse, they come back with a question, why should I? It's not necessary for salvation. What's the big deal? And they're right, it isn't necessary for salvation. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you died before you're baptized, are you going to heaven? What's the answer? Yes. Praise the Lord for that. So if it isn't necessary for salvation, why do it? What's your response to that? How would you respond? Because God commanded it. God commanded it. Shouldn't I do it? Shouldn't I be obedient to his word? And Scott read Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I won't go back there. But because Jesus commanded it. Why should I do it? Because it publicly identifies. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 quickly. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 10, 1. I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What does that mean, were baptized into Moses? All of them identified with Moses as they passed through the sea. All of them identified with Moses. What is, when we're baptized, what is it, what are we doing? We are identifying with Christ. I'm making a public statement that I identify with Christ. I'm on His team. I want to follow Him. I am a Christian. I bear the name of Christ. It's a public identification. So when Scott made that decision, you know what, I'm concerned about what my parents think, but I'm going to be obedient to God, and he was baptized. He publicly identified as a believer. That's what it is. That's why we do it. And it's an outward picture of an inward reality. I'm dead in my sin and I'm risen with Christ. I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him. I'm on His team. So it's not necessary for salvation. Why do it? Because Jesus commanded it. Because I want to publicly identify with Him. We'll go out and we're up fishing and people have their hook shirts on and you know, maybe their Shimano hats or you put on your warrior gear and we publicly identify, or you come out with a Packer towel, whatever it is. We publicly identify with that, but we won't publicly identify with Jesus Christ. That's a shame. And because, as Scott mentioned, it's opportunity to share the truth. Oftentimes at a baptism, family is invited. Family and friends that don't know Jesus Christ. And you can stand there and proclaim that I have put my faith in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. I trust in Him alone for my salvation. And you can give them the gospel. I know that I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But God sent his son to die and pay the penalty for. What an opportunity to share the truth, isn't it? It's opportunity for the gospel to go and permeate into another life, to see that life changed. And here's the so what, and I might step on some toes here. There's only two good reasons for a person to not get baptized. The first good reason is you're not a believer. If you haven't put your faith in Christ, you shouldn't get baptized. And here's the second reason. Maybe that person is a believer but doesn't want to identify with Christ. And when I say that, what do you think? And if a person says, I don't want to identify with him, are they a believer? And again, that's between them and God. But if I told you I'm a Christian but I don't want to publicly identify with Christ, what are you thinking? What's wrong with this guy? What's he ashamed of? Is he really a believer? And so there's excuses that I hear. I don't want to offend family. I'm afraid of water. You know, baptism isn't necessary for salvation. But it all comes down to this. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have a good excuse. Jesus commanded it. It's public identification. It's an opportunity to share the truth. So question today, are you a believer? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? If you haven't, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're under the wrath of God. That's your need. That's your main need. To put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. There's no other way. It's Jesus Christ alone. So if you're here today and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, settle that issue right now. Recognize, tell God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin separates me from you. And today I trust Jesus as my Savior. He paid the penalty for my sin. I accept that free gift. That's your need. So that's the first question. Are you a believer? And if your answer to that is yes, have you been baptized? Have you been immersed? After salvation, not before. I'm talking about after salvation, because that's biblical baptism. If you've been sprinkled or poured as a baby, then you put your faith in Christ, it's backwards, it's not biblical baptism following the command of Scripture. Have you been baptized? I think that's written wrong. It should be, are you a believer? If so, why not? Why haven't you? What's your excuse? Let's put that to rest and consider being baptized as a step of obedience and a public proclamation of your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer and been waiting, I'd urge you to follow that step of obedience, that command of Christ, and be baptized. I've had a couple inquiries already for August. If again, any of these excuses you've been using, or if you've been sprinkled and then salvation came, if you're a believer and haven't been baptized, come and see me. Come see Pastor Brian. Let's talk and follow that command of Scripture. If you haven't put your faith in Christ, do that. That's your need today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word and the clarity of it. We know that it isn't our works that saves us. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, to buy it, to gain favor with you. And we praise you for that. That it's not dependent on us. It's a gift that is received. Lord, we also see in Scripture that command of baptism for the believer. I pray that if there's any believer here that hasn't been baptized, that they would follow that command. that they would respond in obedience to your word and publicly identify with you and that opportunity to share truth with others. So, Lord, thank you again for your word. May we respond to it in a way that we should, and may you be exalted in our response. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.